What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm back with my old man, Howie, and welcome to the latest episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
We back, we bad, and you're back with us.
So cringy, as usual.
Here we go with the insults already, and we barely even started the show.
Here we go with the cringiness already. 30 seconds in.
Okay, sorry. Coming off one of the best sports weekends that we can remember in a long time, Jacob's Dynasty Sportscast, Jacob's Dynasty Sports Podcast, back on the air. Great weekend, college football, so many good matchups this past Saturday. Psyched that Michigan got a win over Penn State. Football Sunday, lots of great games. We'll talk a little bit about as we look forward to this upcoming week. The Yankees just advanced to the American League Championship Series against the Astros for the third time in the last 6 years. And
Bama lost.
Like the JJ man said, Bama lost.
So let's go through some quick hitters over the weekend. I know you touched on a couple, but let's go through the most important ones. Michigan got the dub, back in the top four. Obviously, that has to be the number one thing just because your boy goes to Michigan. Number two, Bama loses to Tennessee. Tennessee proves that it's one of the top teams in the SEC. I think that's their fourth top 25 win, their first win over Bama in 16 years. Which is unbelievable to think about. They're in the top three, and they're eyeing up a matchup with Georgia in 2 weekends from now on Halloween weekend, which should be ridiculous. We got the Padres and the Phillies, underdogs in their series.
Wild card teams
beating the 111-win Dodgers and beating the defending champions, the Braves. And they will be starting off their series tonight. USC, some of the minor stuff, USC goes down to Utah. Josh Allen proves that he's the number one MVP candidate, and the Bills are probably the best team in the league. And Giants and Jets, looking great.
Giants and Jets, dude, I saw power rankings today, NFL power rankings. The Giants were 5. I was like, what? 5-1. And the Jets were like 8, and I did like a double take, and it's like, it's still hard to believe. It's crazy. Really, really hard to believe. By the way, I love it when Jordan just takes it away with the recap of the weekend. I can remember going back to the beginning of the origins of this podcast, like 2 years ago, and Jordan would just be like, Giants-Vikings this weekend. Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, on to the next game. And now he's just got like, he's just bringing it like a sports.
Well, when your fantasy teams are doing good, your life is good. Your life is good, you know?
Fantasy football hero, living and dying. Jordan will call me from school during the week, and I'll be like, hey, bud, what's going on? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, the Yankees, and that was a good win last night. And then I'll be like, oh, did you follow up with this person for business school? And he's like, yeah. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers and Terry McLaren for this? Or it'll be like another day of the week, and I'll be like, you know, how'd you do on that test? And he's like, I think it went okay. But what do you think about Matt Prater over, you know, Derek Carlson?
Brandon McManus.
Brandon McManus. Absolutely. But it's all good stuff. I mean, all good stuff. Like you said, great sports weekend.
Where do we even start? Do we start with NBA starting up, NFL matchups?
Bray Wyatt. I mean, we're just kidding.
We're going to get to all of it, but it's almost like we need to spin a wheel to see where we get started.
Well, we could talk about the continued crappy quality of the Thursday night and Monday night games.
Bringing
new meaning to the word bad football.
Well, why don't we kick it off with some football? After a great week, Giants and Jets, 4-2, 5-1. The Bills and the Chiefs put on a show. And
great game.
They proved that they're probably going to be the final two teams in the AFC. The Eagles are undefeated. Prescott coming back.
Yeah. And Hopkins. I hope that makes a difference. Yeah, Prescott coming back.
Hopkins is back. Should be fun for some fantasy owners. We got some.
Yeah, with Marquise Brown out. Yeah. So
it's a big bye week for a lot of teams. So, but let's kick it off with Thursday Night Football. Hopefully a decent matchup. There's some compared to last week with not a lot of fantasy. I think there's a decent amount of fantasy. Actually, I don't even know because of the injuries, but you got the Saints taking on the Cardinals, two struggling teams this season. And both teams are really in need of a win right now. And the Saints, I think, only have Chris Olave out of their top three receivers playing because Michael Thomas is injured. And who's their other receiver injured?
Michael Thomas. Yeah, but Olave's coming back this week.
No, Olave's back. Kamara, obviously, must start. Marquise Callaway is not a bad option if you're in need of a player to start for someone like Stephon Diggs. Cooper Kupp, both out this week. Top two receivers are out this week, so keep that in mind. And then on the Cardinals side, Kyler Murray gets the start. If James Conner is back, should start him. And then for the receivers, I mean, Marquise Brown's done for at least 6 weeks. Hopkins, we don't know if he's playing. Robbie Anderson gets traded after a blow-up on the sidelines with the Panthers. So I don't even know what to think right now for that wide receiver core. But if Hopkins plays, I think you got to start him. And I don't, and Zach Ertz, obviously. He's a top five tight end this year. You got to start him too. But as for everyone else, not that much.
Yeah, I mean, my better idea in terms of clarity as the game gets closer. You know, I was going to say maybe with the Cardinals, Hopkins will help to stabilize that offense a little bit. Although, you know, James Conner's been banged up, so you got Eno Benjamin in there. It'd be interesting to see. And, you know, New Orleans side of things, you know, I don't know if Jameis Winston's going to play this week or they're going to roll with Andy Dalton.
They're rolling with Dalton.
So I don't know. That's really a tough one to see. I do think that game could be set up to be another clunker just because of the injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yep.
I think, yeah, like you said, Kamara, Kyler, Olave, who looks like he's on track to play, probably wouldn't put Hopkins out there. So maybe, you know, Moore and certainly Zach Ertz.
Yep.
But other than that, it's a crapshoot.
Yep. No London game this week, but we got really only 7 1:00 games, which is kind of surprising because of all the buys. But we'll kick it off in Baltimore. You got the Browns taking on the Ravens. Ravens fall short again, blow another fourth quarter lead, this time to the Giants. I don't know if you could say that's pretty disappointing with how the Giants are playing, but the Ravens should. They have leads against the Bills, the Giants, and forgetting the other team, or the Dolphins. But they should be in line for a win this week. The Browns really have two guys running their offense with Chubb and Amari Cooper, and I guess David Njoku you could throw in.
But yeah, and they're coming off a really disappointing loss to New England.
Yep.
You know, they couldn't even get anything going. Creed 3. I just saw an advertisement for Creed 3.
Yeah.
I got to watch the trailer.
Yeah, it came out today. But
Sylvester Stallone, I don't think, is involved in it. By the way, just an interesting stat for the NBA that I just saw posted. In James Harden's last playoff game, he had 11 points, 4-for-9, field goals, no free throws. In the first quarter tonight, 16 points, 3 or 4 field goals.
No way.
From the free throw line.
Actually?
Yep. In the first quarter. So he worked out a lot in the offseason, so I would expect him to have a nice comeback season. And I don't want to say the 76ers are the favorites, but I think they're set up to have a pretty good season this year. Certainly make it to the East Championship.
Yeah, but let's kick it over back to Baltimore.
Sorry about that. Oh, good. Just figured I would chime in with something that might be relevant.
Yeah. On Baltimore, I think the only guy you can really safely start is Lamar and Justin Tucker. J.K. Dobbins got banged up last week, and Kenyon Drake took over out of nowhere. He's definitely a guy that, for your waivers, is worth a pickup or a stash if you need a guy. Maybe even a start this week if you're down, like Devin Singletary, Darrell Henderson, if just in case you're in need of a guy who's on bye week. But that pretty much does it. There's no – and Mark Andrews, obviously. That's a given. But not a lot
Mark
of –
Mark Andrews has been on a roll, solid as a rock.
Yeah, probably one of the best stacks in the league, behind Kelce, Mahomes, and Diggs and Allen. But Andrews is great. Lamar should step it up this game, but another must win for both teams. I mean, Baltimore is in first place right now, but one loss this week and then a Steelers win puts the – or I don't know if the Steelers play this – yeah, Steelers play Sunday Night Football. So everyone was bashing the Steelers, but if the Bengals lose, Ravens lose, Steelers win, Steelers move up to that one seed, right, with all the other teams.
Is that serious? What is the Steelers record? Like 1-4, 1-5?
2-4.
Wow.
So the Browns, Ravens, Steelers will all be 3-4, and the Bengals don't play this week. Oh, no, the Bengals do play the Falcons this week. So you could potentially have a four-way tie for first in the AFC North.
That's parity in the NFL for you folks.
Yeah. But that pretty much does it for that game. You want to take, I don't even know if there's much to say, Buccaneers-Panthers. I guess there is a little bit to say after the Buccaneers crapped the bet against the Steelers last week.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting what's going on with the Buccaneers a little bit because – you know, Tom Brady's personal life has been the subject of a lot of speculation in the newspapers this year. In fact, you know, he's been missing practice here and there. Last Friday, he flew up to New York for the Patriots owner Robert Kraft's wedding. You know, you got Todd Bowles as the coach there. You don't get to hear much from him. There was speculation that Brady forced the prior coach to step down. You know, the Buccaneers are sort of all over the place. I mean, Brady can still sling the ball, hasn't had a lot of touchdowns, but it's going to be interesting to see where that team goes from here. You know, I saw an article which said, you know, 8 years ago, the Patriots started off the season 2-2, and people were writing off Tom Brady, and they rattled off like 10 straight wins after that. So the NFC is pretty weak. It's not going to take much to get the ship righted. I'm assuming it'll start this week. You know, yeah, if you have Brady,
they got to get a win this week.
Yeah, chances are you're starting Brady this week just because of all the players who are on bye. You're going to start Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette. And on the Panthers side of the ball,
McCaffrey, obviously.
McCaffrey. I mean, I saw rumors today that I think the Chiefs and the 49ers right now are making plays for Christian McCaffrey. Dude, obviously, if I'm McCaffrey, I'm trying to go to the Chiefs.
If McCaffrey goes to the Chiefs, like, we remember how good Kareem Hunt was. Just imagine. Like,
yeah, I mean, listen, they do spread the ball around all over the place, and Clyde's Edwards-Helaire has actually exceeded people's expectations this year just because the Chiefs don't really focus much on the running game. And when they get down to the red zone, you'll have Mahomes doing his, like, shuttle passes and targeting, you know, Travis Kelce and stuff. But listen, there are worse places to be than a high-scoring offense like that.
Just wanted to mention, if you got a Dawson Knox or a Tyler Higbee on bye this week, another guy to look for, Cade Otton. Cameron Brate's out this week with a neck injury. So Buccaneers like to throw the ball a lot. He's gotten 10 targets in the past two games. So
what team? Cade Otton?
Cade Otton.
Cade Otton.
On the, like, Buccaneers. Cotton. On the Buccaneers.
Okay.
But that pretty much does it for that game. And Ryan Succop and Buccaneers defense. Pretty much starting everyone on the Bucs. Falcons-Bengals. Falcons actually a bit surprising this year. 3-3.
Very surprising.
Marcus Mariota's done a decent job there with not a lot of weapons. No Calvin Ridley, obviously. Cordarrelle Patterson's banged up. The backfield's, for fantasy-wise, is a mess. Caleb Huntley, Tyler Algier, I think Damian Williams. No one's a set start there. I think the only guy you could really start is Kyle Pitts just because the tight end position is so narrow. And then on the Bengals side, you're pretty much starting everyone on that offense. Burrow, Mixon, Higgins.
Yeah, I feel like the Bengals are starting to turn it up a little bit now. They're starting to right their ship a little bit more. Jamar Chase, huge games, you know.
Tyler Boyd's also worth a start this week if you need a guy.
By the way, real quick, those NFL power rankings that I referenced before from ESPN, the Bucs at 10. So even with all their dysfunction, the Bucs are still at 10. The Jets at 9. The Chargers, who like barely won last night and didn't look so great, 8. The Ravens coming off the loss to the Giants are 7. It's just the NFL's like upside down. The Cowboys are 6th without Dak.
That makes sense.
The Giants are 5th. The Vikings are 4th.
They're 5-1.
I know 5-1, but going in, everybody thought, you know, bad defense, you know, and I don't know. I didn't expect them to be there. The Chiefs are 3. The Eagles are 2, and the Bills are 1.
I don't have a problem with the top 6.
No, me neither. I'm just saying it's just so weird to think of the Giants of being number 5. It's just hard to believe. But
well, no since we're talking about them, let's get to them. Giants, Jaguars.
Another winnable game.
It's so hard to believe when we talk about the Giants. Like, the only guy you could really start is Saquon, just because everyone else is up.
No. Wan'Dale Robinson. I don't know if I would start him. You know, I think he had 3 catches.
No, but I mean must starts.
Agreed. Totally agree.
And
totally
then agree. Daniel Bellinger actually is not a bad tight end pickup if you need a guy. He has back-to-back double-digit games in PPR. So, and then on the Jaguar side, I mean,
Travis Etienne.
Like, Travis Etienne and Robinson, I guess, in deeper leagues. Christian Kirk has fallen off a little bit, but I still think he's worth a start. And another guy who I'm actually starting this week because Dallas Goedert's on bye is Evan Ingram. He's done pretty well the past couple of weeks. Just decent guy to start. Obviously, don't expect too much from him, but if you need a guy, he's always there. But I expect.
And I think there's people who might even have to start Trevor Lawrence just because of the bye week.
The crazy thing is about this game, the Jaguars are favorited. I don't know how that makes sense, but
favorite. My dog.
Yep. And now 3 more 1 o'clock games. Lions, Cowboys, one of the high powered offenses versus great defense. On the Lions side, Amon-Ra, DeAndre Swift if he's back.
Is Amon-Ra's definitely playing,
yes.
Right?
DeAndre Swift
playing.
Yes, I think so. Hockenson. Those 3 guys. Another guy that you could potentially start, Josh Reynolds, has double digits in every game but 1 this year. He's been great. Not great, but definitely consistent.
Like under the radar sneaky.
Yeah. And then on the Cowboys side, Dak's back. I think you could start him against a very bad Lions defense.
Even Zeke this week, you know?
Yeah, Zeke and Pollard. And CeeDee Lamb, obviously, must start. He's been great even without Dak. I don't know if I would start Cowboys defense in this game if there's other options. I think Patriots have a good matchup on paper. Broncos have a good matchup. So there's definitely defenses that should be available, but Cowboys are definitely not a bad start this week against a bad Detroit team. Do you want to take Colts Titans battle for first place?
Yeah. Again, this is like weird when you go to these games and you like look at how the Colts have played this year, but then coming off a win this week where Matt Ryan throws for like 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, you know, listen, there are some people who might start Matt Ryan in this game. And Michael Pittman, certainly, he had a great last week. Alec Pierce, is it Alec or Alex?
Alec
Pierce. He seems to be coming on with that pass-first offense. Hopefully Jonathan Taylor is going to be back. I really need him to play, but if he's not, then what was the guy's name?
Deion Jackson
definitely looked like a gamer this past weekend. And, you know, if Taylor doesn't play, you're going to start him. On the Tennessee side of the ball, I think just Derrick Henry, really. But it's crazy because, like I said, week to week, but, I mean, I would expect the Colts to win this game and, you know, so like Jordan said, they might end up being in first place. It's just sort of the wackiness of the NFL.
Yep, I agree. And now for the final 1 o'clock game, Packers, Commanders. Ugh, I don't even know. Carson Wentz is out. Taylor Heineke's getting the start. The backfield in Washington's a little bit of a mess. Just Gibson, McKissick.
The whole team is a mess.
Yeah.
I was sort of Heineke would revive Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
But because they played together in the past, I'm hoping for that, but beyond that, I don't even know what to think between McKissick, Gibson, and Brian Robinson.
It's almost a toss-up for all those players except for McLaurin, and Curtis Samuel has not looked the same as he did, but who knows with Heinicke as quarterback, so...
Yeah, I thought they might go to the rookie quarterback instead of going back to Heinicke, but listen, I think it's safe to say the Redskins are going to be playing for a high
draft. Redskins, whoa. Commanders.
Sorry. The Commanders. My bad. It's not a curse word, homie. Chill out.
Well, and then on the
For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast with young man Jordan and his cool dad Howie.
Old man Howie. Cringe man Howie.
Howie.
Hungry Howie. Hello. Anyways, and then on the Packer side of the ball, Rodgers.
Wait, who are the Packers playing?
The Commanders.
Oh.
You got Rodgers and Lazard. I think you could start up both of them this week. Aaron Jones, I think you could start him. Start your studs.
Yeah, Cobb is gone. So yeah. Rodgers is trying to take back the offense.
And Tonyan's not a bad tight end start this week. He had a
Tonyan. Tonyan, dude. I just have to say it's Tonyan.
Tonyan.
Bengals. Bengals.
That pretty much does it for that game. Not a lot of high-powered fantasy players in that game. But we can move on. This game is just awful. Jets Broncos. Ugh.
Listen, if you're a Jets fan, it's not awful.
And I mean, it's a winnable game. It's definitely a winnable game. But it's
another winnable game. I don't even know if Russell Wilson's going to play this week. He's all banged up.
Honestly, the only two guys that I could see starting in this game confidently are Breece Hall and Cortland Sutton. That's it. And
it's like Garrett Wilson, you can't even start now, right?
Another guy to keep an eye out for, though, is the Broncos tight end. He's a rookie. Did great last night. Got a lot of red zone targets, but
what's his name? Say his name, bitch. Say his name.
Chill. It's Greg Dulcich?
Greg Dulcich? By the way, that say my name line was in the movie American Pie for you, those fans out there. At the prom night with Jason Biggs and Allison Hannigan.
Okay, moving on.
I was used.
Another awesome. Awful game. Texans Raiders.
Why don't you just not watch football this weekend, for God's sakes?
Well, all the fantasy matchups revolve around two games: Seahawks, Chargers, and Chiefs, 49ers. So
dude, the lineup is so bad, I'm actually not going to be watching the early games.
Dude, wait till you see the college.
Going to an orchard with friends.
Wait till you see the college football matchups this week. They're even worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just take the weekend off.
But Texans Raiders. Only guy you're starting on the Texans is, I guess you could start Brandon Cooks and Damian.
Andre Johnson.
No.
There's nobody.
No, Damian Pierce or Brandon Cooks are startable.
They should just take Watson back for the weekend and start Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And on the Raiders side, Carr, Jacobs, Adams, Waller, maybe Renfro. Maybe.
Oh, man. Just throwing them all in.
Daniel Carlson.
A bad weekend for football.
But wait till we get to the night games for Sunday, Monday. But another 425 game, Seahawks Chargers. There's actually a lot of fantasy. You got Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker. You got DK. You got Tyler Lockett. Even Will Disley. Jason Myers has gotten double digits each week as a kicker, so if you need a guy and he's available, not a bad start. Now on the Chargers side, I expect the Chargers offense to bounce back, especially if Keenan Allen hopefully makes his return. You got Herbert, Eckler's a stud, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, all those guys, plug them in, start them. I expect a lot of offense this week, even with the Chargers kicker being out. So I expect a lot of attempts on fourth down for that offense. So should be a high scoring game. And that pretty much does it for that game. And now for the final afternoon game, Chiefs 49ers, you could take it.
Yeah. That's actually a decent matchup, although you don't really know what's going to show up for the 49ers.
It's a rematch of the Super Bowl.
I'm starting Jimmy G. I mean, the over-under in that game is like 48 points. I would assume the 49ers are going to need to throw a little bit. But
it's a rematch of the Super Bowl.
Rematch of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So on the 49ers side, you know, Deebo Samuels, Jeff Wilson, even though he had a really bad game this past week. Maybe Brandon Ayuk is a wide receiver three flex. And George Kittle has been showing some life. You know, if he's your tight end, you're going to be playing him. On the Chiefs side of the ball, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce must starts. Juju Smith showed a little – I don't even say Juju showed a little life this weekend, because Juju's been averaging 8 targets a game that just really haven't resulted in significant yardage gains or touchdowns. This past week he had 5 targets, 5 completions, over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. Maybe that'll get Mahomes to rely on him a little bit more, but – his MO without Tyreek Hill there really seems to be like Kelce and just spread the ball around to everybody else.
I think you could start Juju. I think he hasn't played bad. He's definitely a startable guy, and he gets the targets. And Mahomes is getting him the ball now more accurately. I like Juju in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, well, he's on bye next week, so just letting you know about that. Yeah,
besides his bye week. And two more games.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, too.
Yes. Two more games. Sunday Night Football, Steelers-Dolphins. Should be Mitchell Trubisky versus Tua, most likely. Wait, back.
Steelers-Dolphins, man. What a bad game also. Well, hopefully Tua will be back.
Tua, the Dolphins' offense is definitely...
Well, Tua or Bridgewater. Bridgewater's fine as long as he stays upright.
Yeah, but I think Tua's going to be back this week, so... Even if Tua is out, you're starting Waddle and Hill. Hill is on pace. Hill is on pace to break the all-time yards in a season record.
Who is?
Tyreek Hill.
Wait, what's the all-time? Like Jerry Rice all-time yards in a season?
I think it was Calvin.
Randy Moss.
I think Calvin Johnson has it.
How many yards?
It's a lot.
Well, I mean, that's like 1900 yards.
Dude, if you look at his stats, he gets a lot of yards.
Wow.
He has 701 yards this season.
That's a lot of yards.
You're starting both of them. Raheem Mostert has taken over the backfield. I think you could start him. Gesicki, also tight end if you need one this week. 76ers are looking good right now, by the way, as a side note, but... and then on the Steelers side, if Mitchell Trubisky's back, I think you could start Deontay Johnson. He seems to be the favorite target there. Claypool had a decent week.
I think that Tomlin said Pickett is going to start if he's available. Yeah.
But yeah. I think you got to start Najee. I think you got to start Deontay.
I hate Najee. By the way, the Sixers are up by 3. I'm just saying.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
3, though. It's not like it was 15.
It was 10. It was 10.
Okay.
For the final game of the week, absolute dog.
This is Monday night?
Yeah. Awful.
Oh, man. Bears. You're watching the Astros-Yankees.
Bears-Patriots. The only person that is even startable in this game that you should be watching for is Ramondre Stevenson.
And Nick Folk.
And maybe Jacoby Myers.
Oh, my God. David Montgomery.
I don't even know if you can start him.
Yeah, I mean, I would not put it past Bill Belichick to stay with this quarterback, William Zabka.
Zappi? William Zabka from Cobra Kai?
Over Mac Jones. Seriously, he will stay with this guy. Yeah. They will cast Mac Jones aside like Drew Bledsoe. If he thinks it's going to give him a chance to win.
Patriots defense, always strong. They're definitely a must-start this week if they're available.
They are.
They shut down the line. Lines have a great offense. And they shut down they shut down Nick Chubb, held him to less than 100 yards. They look
great. And they're playing the Jets next week, which should be an interesting
game. That's a big game. That's a big game.
It is. Those teams always play each other well.
I think the only two people or one person you can start is Ramondre and then Patriots Day. No one on the Bears, in my opinion, is a must-start. unless you need like a Montgomery to fill in for a running back.
I saw somebody posted a meme of you know, the guy rocking the baby on the Indians. Oh, the Guardians, when he ran around. Jordan gets very offended. When he ran around the bases.
Yeah, Josh Naylor.
They put Aaron Judge's face on his body.
Yeah.
Running around the bases. By the way, interesting story developing. I've been reading a lot about like the NFL ownership structure and stuff like that, just because of some of my enjoyment in my free time. Is that what's going on with Daniel Snyder with the Washington Redskins? Yeah,
it's a mess.
Like, he's
Commanders. Been
a source of controversy. Every time I say it, Jordan's just going to override me. He's been a source of controversy for a long time. And there have been a lot of investigations there, hostile work environment, discrimination, like cheerleaders being peepholed while they're changing. And there was a big expose in ESPN last week talking about how like Snyder like gets private investigators to dig up dirt on the other NFL owners. And today they had the NFL owners meetings, and there's some rumblings coming out that they might have enough votes to force Snyder to sell the team. So it's sort of interesting. If you have any familiarity whatsoever with the rules of the NFL, it's very, very difficult to try to get an owner to sell the team. And usually it's similar to what's happening with Robert Sarver of the Phoenix Suns, or what happened with Donald Sterling when he had the LA Clippers. It really becomes the type of thing where the backlash amongst the fans and the players is so large that the owner has no choice but to sell the team. But just... very interesting. I mean, it's obviously a common topic in culture today with what's going on, just in terms of treating people fairly and equitably. And you can only hide for so long if you're not treating people respectfully, is what it comes down to. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I think, Jordan, shifting gears a little bit right now, we'll talk about baseball quickly. You know, we've alluded to it a couple times throughout the show today. You got the Yankees going on to face their arch nemesis, the Houston Astros. That really is the marquee matchup, because in the National League, you've got two wild card teams. I mean,
who are still good? Who are still good? But it's just the Yankees Astros. It's a rivalry, I think people could safely say now. It's just ever since the cheating scandal and the buildup, it's just
they've been playing each other a lot. There's a lot of history going on there. And I mean, the Astros, I certainly want the Yankees to win, but the Astros have really been on a roll, like, you know, winning games last minute with walk-offs and stuff like that.
The Yankees have
to... let's hope it's a long series.
The Yankees have to get runs besides, like, hitting home runs. They have to, like, hit for contact.
Manufacture runs, right?
Yeah. It's just...
you can't live and die on home runs.
They can't get behind on the Astros because they'll shut you down. Like, Verlander's pitching tomorrow, so if we get one run, that's like, we just need to hold them. We're very good at holding teams besides that one game against the Guardians. But we have a struggling Yankees have a struggling bullpen. Astros pitching is one of the best. So both high-powered offenses, both match up pretty well against each other. It's just going to come down to the pitching and the best players. Yordan Alvarez, Judge, Stanton, Altuve, Rizzo, Bregman. Those are the guys.
So what are you thinking? I guess we're hoping the Yankees against... it could go either way. Imagine if the Padres had Soto, you know?
Tatis.
Tatis.
I just think, like, if you look at the Dodgers, like, the Padres played three games, and then they played the Dodgers. There's something about not playing and, like, having time off that impacts teams. And I think if the Yankees can... win tomorrow against Verlander, then that would be huge. But I think it could go either way. And then, honestly, like, I don't have a say. Like, I want to say the Yankees, but I think the Astros are very good. So you could flip a coin. And then in the NL, I have the Padres. I think they have better pitching. I think their offense, they're a more complete team. Soto has the experience. And the Padres, they beat the Dodgers, they beat the Mets. I just think they're hungry and they want to win.
Yeah. So let's touch a little bit upon the NBA. I mean, two of the better teams in the East here. We didn't even really have an NBA preview show.
Well, I had one, but you were dozing off.
Yeah, that was a minor preview. But, you know, I think you know, I was reading an article today that sort of identified like seven teams that they think are the favorites to win the championship. Golden, in no particular order, Golden State Warriors, the Clippers, the 76ers, the Bucks,
Celtics.
The Celtics without their coach there.
And the Nuggets or Mavericks?
I don't even think it was the Nuggets or Mavericks.
Suns.
The Grizzlies, maybe.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, on a personal level, I think the Knicks are going to be fun to watch this year. They're going to be a tough team to beat. I think Jalen Brunson is going to make a real difference there. And they have a lot of depth. But certainly the Clippers look pretty locked and loaded if they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And then
it's just,
how can you go against the Bucks if they're all healthy in the East?
Yeah. Well, Middleton's out for about a month, which is tough.
That stinks.
But I think Giannis, after losing at home to the Celtics last year and not being, like, their team not being healthy, I think he is going to go on a rampage this year. I just think he's going to go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Bucks and the 76ers, but listen, if the Nets come together, the Nets could be there with that team.
My final four are Bucks, 76ers, and Clippers, Nuggets. I just think the Nuggets with Jokic, Porter, and Murray, along with Aaron Gordon. You got Bones Highland there. They have a great defensive team. And then a couple teams to look out for. Pelicans are one of them, definitely.
Yeah, assuming that Zion can stay Zion 8.
Pelicans, Mavericks, Cavaliers, Knicks.
I don't think the Mavericks have enough. I mean, I think that Luka's going to have a ridiculous season.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they have enough juice. I will say this. The Golden State Warriors are going to be interesting to watch. The Golden State Warriors signed Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins to extensions.
The luxury tax is a myth. Like
it's not a myth because they're going to pay it. But next year they have over $400 million in salaries committed. Okay. They'll be lucky if Draymond Green doesn't implode this year because you already had the episode of punching Jordan Poole. They're not planning on signing him. He started to erode last year from a skill standpoint, and he's not going to be happy unless he gets paid. That could get ugly. But at the same time, by the way, Klay Thompson is going to be missing games to start the season. But at the same time, I mean, between Steph Curry and some of that young talent.
And they got Wiseman back.
Totally reloaded. I mean, and in a position to continue to be competitive for a long time. And in going back, I said last year, don't underrate them keeping Kenny Atkinson because I think he's going to be the next coach of that team.
Yeah.
They're a well-run organization.
The one,
I give them credit because they're taking care of their guys.
The one thing with the Warriors that I have to say is they had one of the easiest paths to the championship, in my opinion, last year. They played the Nuggets with no Murray and Porter. They beat the Grizzlies without Ja, and then they beat the Mavericks, who are not healthy either.
Yeah, but the Mavericks still beat the Suns, and then who were in the finals in the East? The Celtics, right?
Celtics Heat.
No, and then who made it? The Celtics?
Yeah.
So the Celtics.
Yeah, I just no Robert Williams to start off the season. They got Brogdon, but when you look at the Bucks and the Sixers, they just seem more locked and loaded, the depth. I think James Harden is going to have a great – I think James Harden's so hungry. He wants to prove everyone wrong. He looks great tonight. But and then Embiid, he wants that MVP so badly. And then you got Maxey, Tucker. Just got a lot of guys there. And then, obviously, Milwaukee, Giannis. Giannis and Harden are just two guys that want to prove everyone wrong.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if the 76ers could pull through, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks do it either. It'd be interesting to watch. I mean, the NBA season gets a little long and drawn out at times, but certainly interesting. And it's funny, we didn't mention the Lakers once. That's a little scary.
Well, there's so many teams in the West. Don't look so good, I don't think you could judge them. You have to take 2 to 3 weeks. If they're like 5 games above 500. If they're 5 games above 500 and AD's healthy, it's like they're a great team when LeBron and AD are healthy. They just got to stay healthy.
Got to figure out what's going to happen with Russell Westbrook. And they were talking about him coming off the bench and then he hurt himself or maybe being traded for Buddy Hield and Brogdon, Bogdanovich, but the Lakers would be giving up picks through like the year 2040.
Yeah.
They've given up so many picks. I mean, it's so, I know they wanted to keep LeBron there, but it sort of reminds me of Kobe's last couple seasons where it's just like,
yeah, I think this is it.
Man, the Lakers are going to be bad for a while. It's almost, I got to tell you something. If they have a crappy year, you got to consider trading Anthony Davis. I mean, really, and just get whatever, get like a king's ransom for him. Trade him to the Knicks. I mean, they'll give up 5 draft picks for him.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I don't know. It's interesting how
it should be. It's because I'm not counting out the Lakers to win the championship. They're just so many teams.
I am.
I'm not.
Okay.
I think there's like 5 or 6 teams. But that pretty much does it for the main 3 sports. Yeah. College.
We won't get into wrestling tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. College.
Me.
You got college football. Talked about it a little before. But, I mean, you got like 7, 8 undefeated teams. I think the one matchup everyone's interested in this week is UCLA-Oregon. I think if UCLA wins tonight, they have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way to stay undefeated in that division. But Michigan's on a bye. Ohio State plays Penn State. Tennessee, Georgia,
Ohio State plays Penn State this week.
Sorry, they play Rutgers and then Penn State.
Yeah.
So,
hey, listen, I was saying, other than Notre Dame, who hasn't been a very good team, at some point they're going to have to start looking at Ohio State's strength of schedule.
Yeah.
They really haven't been anybody good at all.
Halloween weekend's going to be something else, though. You got Georgia, Tennessee.
You got my flight to Ann Arbor Saturday morning.
You got
straight to the hotel for a nap.
Georgia, Tennessee, Michigan, Michigan State. Bama, Ole Miss, or Mississippi State, I think. There's a lot of good sports to look forward to. And then got Thanksgiving, Black Friday game, holidays.
Well, let's take it easy. Let's not get carried away. By the way, the Black Friday game is next year.
No, it's this year.
It's not. It's next year.
It's this year.
Next year. It's starting next year. Anyway, before I start dozing off again, probably time to wrap it up. I mean, we enjoy this so much we could go on forever and ever. But good show, a lot of interesting stuff. I'll certainly be listening to the replay tomorrow morning. And we hope that everybody will listen. And please tell your friends, even if they don't listen to the show, just turn it on and turn it off because we get advertiser money.
No, we do not.
I'd like to think that we do. But just tell everybody to listen if you can, for God's sakes.
Yep. Good luck in your fantasy matchups this week. Go Yankees.
We're gonna sign off. It's Young Man Jordan and Mature Howie.
Cringy.
And until next time.
It's your boy and the old man signing off.